I'm going to tell you briefly, just a little bit, because of a time element here, that we just finished our second group of students. We graduated, as I was here last year, we graduated 9, and those, all 9 are in the ministry. And 4 of them, they were husband and wife, and then one single man. And Pastor Ricky just baptized 6 converts in a very, very new place. And so our ministry, I was going to do what we call Ehu Station. It's in the swamp there. And I couldn't go on. We went to buy movers, started a school. And so one of our graduates went to this place where we were going to start a church. And he's starting it. And he just baptized 6 converts. Within the last 2 weeks. So that's been wonderful. Pastor Murphy went back to his church in Shem, in one of the right off the coast, and he just finished rebuilding his house, being away 3 years in the bush, to our bush, and so with his church, he just baptized 6 people in the sea. So. I'm a little jealous. I would love to be baptized in the sea. Amen. And so, Pastor Misa, who went back to his church at Liberty, they were building a building. So all 3 of them are in the process of building church buildings. One is building his own house. But they're in the process of building church buildings. We're trying to help them as much as we can. It's very different in the bush. There's no sawmills around. You got to use a chainsaw and cut all your timber and whatnot. And so, but Pastor Misa, for the first time, is going to have a Christmas time with his village, with his community. Never had it before. He asked me if it was okay to have a service and then have a big feast for all the community so we could witness and preach to them. And I said, amen. First time ever in the bush. So we preached that. Pastor Danny, he's been faithful, been winning some souls where we are. I am not the pastor of Bible River Baptist Church. I am the headmaster, the principal and teacher with Trina and I of Bible River Baptist Bible Institute. So I am not the pastor of the church. We have a national there to pastor the church, and we are underneath him. And so that's the biblical mandate. And so anyway, Pastor Danny, after being there a long time, the church has got together and building him a badly needed new house because all his roofs leaks and whatnot. So all 4 of them are doing. Then we just finished our first year with the second group of 9 students. And we had an intern, a single intern, came back with us. And he came back as a graduate helping to teach. I was training him to teach and disciple. He has been doing the choir. Trina has taught him and turned over the choir to him. Trina has taught him and turned over the junior church to him. He's been doing very, very well. But he's a single man, and in that culture, it is not a very good thing to be single when you're over 40. And so when we go back, we're allowing him to go out to find a wife, and then if need to, bring her back, and we'll put her in school and so forth. So, two families went to their villages for vacation, and they really are burdened to witness to all their families and whatnot and bring them to the Lord. And then we have 2 families that are staying back at our mission. We have 15 acres or over 5 hectares. And during this time of year, there's no discipline in the village, nothing going on in the village, so drunkenness and partying is a normal thing, and stealing is a normal thing. Okay? And so we have some students are staying back and help with the maintenance and yard work of our mission, so it's not all bush when we go back. So there's that little bit. We appreciate your prayers. This is, in some ways, to us, since we can't get to America, and because I have hearing aid problems, and we come back here for medical checkups, Every year, it's our closest place. We consider this a home away from home. My home away from my home is not America. Okay, my home is Baimuru, Papua New Guinea. Okay, that's my home. I own the house. By the way, I have a title for land, so I actually own the land. I have a 99-year lease, and so it's mine for 99 years. So, I mean, it's mine till I die. Okay? It belongs to Baimuru Baptist Church and Institute. So we had to fight 2 years to get that and a lot of money, but it is ours. So that is my home. I'll probably end up dying there eventually. And I have, what do we have, four? We have four. My wife keeps contact. We have four boo-boos. We have four grandchildren. We call them boo-boos in the bush. I got to be careful here. I'm with all whites, you know. Don't be offended. It's just that to preach to all whites is a little bit different. Okay, I'm the only white skin in an area for a long, long ways. Okay, so we have to mix pidgin and English and come up Pinglish and whatever or not, you know, whatever it is. So I might twist a word in here around today. But we have four grandchildren that we only have seen by pictures or video. My wife has been home to see a couple of them. We're hoping to try to send her home by God's grace in May. My youngest son graduates with his master's in Bible. And his ministry, he wants to go to Romania for the deaf. And so he is doing very well. His name is Ben. He's 27. That's my youngest. My oldest is 35, I think. I think that's Jesse J. I don't know. Oh, 36. 33. Okay. 33. And then, of course, Anna and Rachel, they're married Rachel has a couple children. So there are four children we have not even touched. And so I will not touch them till our second class is graduated. It'll be it'll be 7 years, almost 8 years, till I get to see them. And so we're going to let my wife take a break in May for graduation to go back to see Ben. What a miracle that is. And while I continue the school, and I teach 3 hours a day, and my wife teaches an hour of English every day. The main problem in Papua New Guinea is literacy. What good is it to give you an English Bible if you can't read it? Okay. So anyway, if you will turn to, that's the quickest thing, the way to do this. If I had more time, I could spend an hour telling you about the mission, because I'm a missionary, and my whole heart is missions. And so that's who I am. But I want to give you the greatest author of missions today. If you'll go to Jeremiah 9, and I'll be taking on and off my glasses here all morning. So Jeremiah 9, one of my very, very favorite verses in all the Word of God, because it keeps me focused. Jeremiah 9, you can't have Christmas without this. I told him I wasn't going to preach on Christmas today. When I realized what I was going to preach today, I said, well, this name has everything to do with Christmas. Yeah, so, anyway, Jeremiah 9:23. No. Where am I at? Or is it Jeremiah? I thought it was 9:23. So, I guess it is. Here I have 23, verse 24. Yes, line 24, Jeremiah 9:24, and I think this is the most important. This is, if your heart is not on this verse, you can never be born again. And so, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. It doesn't say to walk out and know the doctrine of baptism or something like that. He said, no, the most important doctrine in the Bible is to know Him, God. It's to know God. If you don't know Him, that's what a personal relationship is. Our job is to know Him. Not know all about Him, but know Him the more we know about Him, the more we are drawn to Him. The less you know about Him, the more religious you get. And we have a lot of Baptist religion today everywhere. We have a lot of Baptist traditional religion that or it's not even in the Bible sometimes. And so, but what'll keep your focus, and I want to be an encouragement because you're looking for a pastor, and I was one for 25 plus years before I even came here. That's an important thing to do, and it's an important thing to wait, and it's an important thing to have is the right man of God to train you, because his job is going to be, but let him the glory of this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, God. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God delights in you knowing him. And I did a tremendous... My students, of all the things I teach them, they love... I do a series on teaching the names of God in the Hebrew words. Because that's the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And so, the Hebrew words of God bring out a little better definition than just the English word. And the English word's okay, but in the Hebrew it gives me a deeper relationship with my Lord. And I'm only going to give you one name of God today, but has everything to do with Christmas. And so, I have this here. There is a, because of time, I have to be very quick here. How many understand it's not in any other translation? It's only in the King James Authorized. There is a code of the King James. Anybody ever hear of that? Anybody know about the code? It's really, the King James translators they knew that most of us would not study Hebrew. I did because I'm a pastor. I have a couple years of Greek and a year of Hebrew, and the Hebrew language is made to sing. It has a smooth, smooth language. So, the King James translators gave us a code to understand a little bit of the three primary names of God. There's three primary names of God, and then there's compound names of God. Okay, what the compound names are like El Elyon or Jehovah Jireh. You've heard Jehovah Jireh. The famous one is Jehovah Jireh with Abraham and Isaac. And so here, I'm going to give you the code quickly because I want to move on. So when you see in your Bible, and by the way, it's all through the Bible. If the words are this way, this is what they are. So if you have Lord with all caps and God with all caps, this is His personal name. This is Jehovah. And it means holy, righteous. He's a holy, righteous God and He's a just God. That's His personal name. Okay? There is a capital L, little o, little r, little d, and it means master or sovereign. Or Lord. In the New Testament, these are two names I'm not going to get at. I'm going to deal with the next name. But Jesus says in Luke 6:46, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, Master, Master, and do not the things that I say." How can He be your master if you disobey Him? Amen? Okay. But I want to look at a name. The first, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. When you see capital G, little O, little D, the Hebrew word is Elohim. Probably the most familiar Hebrew word. This I am in the Hebrew is plural. So there's Elohim, number one, means God. It does. Little o d. But it's a plural word, represents the Trinity. In the beginning, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Papa God. In the beginning, God. Every time you see this word, all the way through the Bible, it speaks of the Trinity. Okay? And the root... It's a generic word because the Egyptians, when Moses went down to Egyptians, all God did is went against and fight against all their gods. Little g, gods. When Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, when they ate the fruit and Satan said, "Ye shall be as gods," it's the same word. Only when you're using mankind, you have to put gods Because there's only one God that's three persons. So it's a little G-O-D-S when it comes to mankind. It's the same word. And so when we speak about capital G, little O, little D, it's a generic word. So you're going to have to say the God of Abraham, not the God of the Egyptians. Elohim is generic. It represents one God, but it also can represent all the gods of the world because it's generic. It doesn't have a brand name. When you go to get medicine at the pharmacy, they'll ask you, you'll get, I don't know what the brand names are anymore. And so they'll give you a brand name, and the price is usually jacked up because you're paying for the name. And then the doctor would say, would you like a generic kind? No brand. So you understand. So this is a generic term that could represent all the gods of the world, even though we know that they're false gods. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, now, the definition of it, there's two. Because it comes with two root words. El means strength. And Allah, and when you transcribe it into English, it's Elohim. But here, this means faithful, and it's to cut a covenant. Do you remember? How many remember Genesis 15 where God cut a covenant with Abraham? Am true? Am true. Is this true? Yes. I'm back. I just naturally go back to some things in the pigeon. But, well, I've been teaching there 4 years. I mean, it's going to come out somewhere. Okay. So you're going to be my guinea pigs. I got to back up here. Anyway. When he made a promise to Abraham, and then he sealed it with an oath. And when he sealed it with an oath, that's a covenant. And when God cut a covenant with Abraham, he put Abraham asleep. Because God, Abraham, he's a sinner. He could not fulfill the covenant. He'd have to die. And God went into a little ravine, and there's this slope, and he cut the animals, just like you would at a regular sacrifice before Moses' law came. And he cut it and drained the blood. And God himself told Abraham, if I don't fulfill my promise and oath to you, it was about the promised seed, not plural seeds, the promised seed was Jesus Christ. Okay? He says, if I don't fulfill this promise, you can do to me as I did to these animals. And God walked through the blood. And God made a promise and an oath with Abraham and said, if I do not fulfill my promise to Abraham about a seed, in Isaac shall thy seed be. We're going to look at that in Genesis 12 here. In Isaac shall thy seed be. And that seed was Christ. And if he did not fulfill this promise, he said, you can do to me as I did to the sacrifice. And instead, by the way, Jesus actually paid that price because he fulfilled the covenant when Jesus was born. And he rose to die on the cross. The promised seed, why? Because in Genesis 3:15, it's going to be the seed of the woman to take away our sin, not the seed of the man. Do you know that every child that comes out, the man's blood is in the child? But it was the seed of the woman. So it wasn't Joseph's blood that was in Jesus. It was God the Father's blood that was in Jesus. It was holy blood. It was the seed of the woman. So, the one thing that I want you to really see here is, when it comes down to this name Elohim, it means strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. Isn't that a wonderful name? When you read in the beginning God, sometimes that gets a little stale for us because we don't preach it. But if you go in the beginning, was this strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God, in the beginning God, who created the heaven and earth. Why? Because He's strong, and He's faithful, and He's covenant-keeping God. He is faithful to you. He is faithful. And the one thing that you need here in this church looking for a pastor, you need to be able to keep a hold of that God is strong and faithful and covenant keeping. He will fulfill His Word. You wait upon Him. Amen? And so, the word that we're going to look at do you know that every missionary that I've ever read about grabbed a hold of one name of God and spent the rest of his life living by what got a hold of him? You really want to have a relationship with God, look at these names. Someday, you know, I don't know if I ever get a chance to preach the other two primary names here or not. But this is one I think is very important to encourage you to who this church belongs to. And so, Elohim. He is a strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. That's the definition of Elohim. By the way, in the bush, I need this name. It gets lonely, it gets discouraging, it gets frustrating being the only white people. It gets discouraging when you try to talk with people who are men and only have a third grade education. It gets very frustrating discipling people who do not have the ability in some places to reason 2 + 2. And you got to be very careful and you got to be very patient. And sometimes it gets frustrating. Praise the Lord, we have 12 souls that have been saved. But when you're in the school and you're all alone as a white person, sometimes you just wish that you could have somebody who's on your level to talk to. Now, I'm not here trying to offend. I'm just telling you the facts of life as a missionary. If you don't want to hear that, if it offends you, then you're going to have to get a grip because it's reality. Okay? It's just life. I'm just sharing my life with you. And if it wouldn't be for Elohim, I'm not so sure my wife and I could have made it 4 years at one place. We've been in the country of Papua New Guinea 5 years, but I don't know if I could handle it without knowing my Elohim. He's strong. He's faithful. He's covenant-keeping. He will not abandon me. He will not abandon me. I'm in the middle of nowhere. No one knows where Baimuru is. I'm in the middle of a swamp. We call it the Sago Swamp. My highest mountain is in my garden. But digging, I have a big cow mound that I get cow out of every 5 months. That's the highest mountain within hundreds of miles. It's called the Sago Swamp. It's bush, jungle. And sometimes, this white skin would like to be here. Is that honest? Amen? That's why not very many people want to come where I am, because it's kind of hard. Okay? Because it's not my culture. It's their culture. Amen? So, I want you to go to Genesis 12, quickly. We're going to do quickly today, because I got to live by your quickly. And no, by the way, no Baptist church has the quickly, but they make everybody else have the quickly. So I'm going to take you through some verses. I want to show you right now. We're going to go through, because I've got about 12 minutes or so. I have to be done at 11:30, right? Am I true? 22. Oh, boy, I can dance around here. No, I'm not. Okay. I forgot. I'm sorry. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now, we're talking about, every time you see this word, capital G, little O, D, you think of, He's a strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. Say it with me, everybody. He's a faithful, covenant-keeping God. That's the only thought I want to get in your head all day. Very simple message. But now I want to apply it, show it to you in Scripture. This is so fun. And Abraham, let's see, chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Based on this promise, salvation comes to you and me. Without this promise, no one can be saved. All the New Testament promises of Jesus Christ come back to this covenant. Because if you look at Hebrews and Galatians, they talk about Christ fulfilling the Abrahamic covenant. It's a covenant that He made with Abraham that brings you and I salvation today. The only reason we have a church is because of Abraham and His promise and the strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God who kept it. He says, and so, and in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Of the promise. He was 100 years old before he had Isaac. It was a miracle birth. Sarah and Abraham, Sarah was to the point where she could not physically, it was impossible for her to have children. How'd you like to have a child at 100 years old? I'm glad it was only Abraham, not me. I'm 68 and I don't want another child right now. Okay. Mine are grown up. Happy for them. They have babies. But I don't want another baby. I'm happy what I'm doing. I got the Papua New Guinea people are my babies. Okay. But I can go home at night and shut them out. Okay. I can turn them over to their papas. Okay. So he was 100 years old and he waited 25 years for this promise to happen. But God, who was strong and faithful in covenant keeping, He kept His promise and brought Isaac, which is a representation of Jesus' miracle birth. And so, we go to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. I'm going to go through Genesis here. I'm going to go through the patriarchs here real quick. Genesis 28. Line 10. Jacob got in trouble. He stole Esau's birthright. You know the pottage? You remember the little Sunday school story? Jacob made some pottage and traded it for his birthright. Okay? And so, in line 10, Jacob is leaving the promised land. So, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. He went to get a wife, but he went back to where Abraham came from. He went back to. By the way, it was pure idol worship. It was all Babylonianism where they came from. God took a man out of the Babylonianism, brought him out, and made a promise with him, changed his life. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place, tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of stones of that and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and he topped it, reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord stood above it. So this is talking about people can go back and forth to heaven only through Jesus Christ. The seed. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Okay. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord. Now watch this. I am the Lord God, Elohim, of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. So he said, look, I'm the strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God of Abraham. By the way, he had to say the God of Abraham. Remember, it's generic. If he had just said God, he wouldn't have known what he's talking about. But he said, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God of Abraham. I'm the strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God of Isaac. And now I'm going to be the strong, covenant-keeping God of you, Jacob. He made it personal. And salvation is always personal. Salvation is always personal, and it's a relationship. It has nothing to do with what I do. It has everything to do with Him, what He did. And behold, the Lord said, I am the Lord God, Elohim, of Abraham, thy father, and God of Isaac, and land whereon thou listest, to thee will I give it to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He's talking about the seed, Jesus Christ. Because that's the promised seed, isn't it? Genesis 3:15, he promised us a seed. He promised us a redeemer. Am I true? When Adam sinned, pay me long sin and me die. God said, don't eat the fruit, ye shall surely die. So pay me long sin and die. He dies. And there had to be bloodshed, coats of skin put on them for redemption. And now the seed of the coat of skin was Isaac, Jacob, all the way down the patriarchal line. We come to David, and we come in the New Testament, and we're going to find that seed in Galatians is Jesus Christ Himself. He is the seed, and Satan tried to destroy the seed. All the way through this, Satan tried to destroy the seed. But watch, Satan cannot do anything without permission. Why? Because his owner is a strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. Sometimes we fear Satan more than we do God. In the bush, they fear the sorcerer sometimes more than they do God. And I've taught my men, no, if you're afraid of the sorcerer, get out of the ministry, because he'll destroy your ministry. You have a strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. This God created them. And He's in total control. Amen? And so, line 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me, and he said he would be, and will keep me in this way that I go, and he said he would, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, and he said he would, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, shall be my Elohim, shall be my Elohim. He's the Elohim of Abraham. He's the Elohim of Isaac. Hey, God just made me a promise. He's going to be my Elohim. He's going to be my strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. Woo! And I can tell you this morning that He has become my strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. And this stone, so that again, to my father's house, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. That was actually, in some sense, right at Mount Moriah. So, now go to Genesis 46. I must hurry. I love the Word of God because whatever name He has, He shows it in practice to His people. Oh, I love it. The greatest study I've done in 25 years is the names of God. Changed my life forever when I got to know Him. And by the way, you can't grow unless you start learning who He is. Because He's the one that delivers you. You cannot deliver you. I don't care how much a doctor you know. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? I've studied for 25 years, doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. The greatest doctrine is to know God. Amen? Make it personal. So here, where I tell you, Genesis 46, let me get there. Genesis 46, and now you don't have a... Hang with me. I'm sorry. I just left it get away from me. Wow, it has two Genesis here. Okay, let me... Didn't notice that. Genesis 46. Okay. Genesis 46, line 1. Now follow this strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God, Elohim. Line 46, chapter 46, line 1. And Israel, that's Jacob now, he has a new name. He wrestled with God. He wrestled with this Elohim, and God blessed him. And so Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the Elohim of his father Isaac. The strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God of Isaac, his father. So if he just said God, you got to be careful about that. Okay? And Elohim spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, and he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I there will make thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine hand. And Jacob rose up and went. Isn't that wonderful? Now go to Genesis 28. He leaves. He goes to Egypt. Now, Genesis 48. Genesis 48. He goes down. God brings him back. Genesis 48. Genesis 48, line 2. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, Elohim, God Almighty, that's El Shaddai, that's a different name. Elohim appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. And I will make of thee a multitude of people and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Now go down to 21. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die. Woo! Behold, I die. Point it on the man, wants to die. Okay? Pay the wrong sin, let me die. The reason you die is because of sin. You might be saved, but you've got a sin nature, and you never conquer it till the rapture. Okay? So you will die unless the rapture comes quickly. Okay. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die. And Elohim, the strong, faithful, covenant-keeping one, shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Whoa! Now go to chapter 50. They went down into Egypt, 70 people, and they were there 400 years and forgot about Elohim. Forgot that He was faithful and strong. Sometimes this church, other churches, forget who He is. And you go for time after time, and you don't hear from God. And you think He's abandoned you. And then you forsake Him. And then you go back into your worldly sin that you love. 400 plus years, they forgot about God. They were wrapped up into the culture. They were wrapped up into a different language. They were wrapped into a different lifestyle. They had all... They just sunk to the depths of despair. 400 years. And then look at 50. Chapter 50, line 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. This is 400. This is Joseph. He went in, brought all his people down. And now Joseph, after 100 or so years, he is dying. And God, Elohim, the strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land which He sware to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all believed in the strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God who made promise, in thy seed shall all the earth be blessed. He hung on to that all his life. Joseph was stolen. He was beaten. He was thrown in to prison for 2 years. Then he became a thing. But kept him going. The relationship with Elohim, who was strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God, who sustained him. And then we come to, we know Exodus 3, with time here. Exodus 3 was the burning bush. It was Israel. Go down and deliver Israel. Why? It's been 400 years now. Now it's 400 years they've been in Egypt. In despair. Taskmaster. Everything. And so, what was Exodus 12, 13, the 10 miracles, and the one was the death, the last one was the death. What was it all about? Because this strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God went into a Gentile nation and destroyed the gods of their life. All their Elohims. This Elohim, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he went in and destroyed those gods. Why? Because he's the only strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. There's many people that have different gods. There's only one who's strong and faithful and covenant-keeping. It's Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Jesus, me. What a great God. Go to Numbers. And I'm about done. Before you throw me off of here. Which I know you wouldn't. Numbers 23. Outside of the Jeremiah 9, this is my second best. Numbers 23. These verses I've memorized because they're part of who I am. God is not Elohim, the strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. Elohim, strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. It says, Elohim, who is a strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God, is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said? Why? Because he's strong and he's spoken. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Why is that? Because he is Elohim. He is the strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. And he promised you at the world, in thy seed shall all the world be blessed. And so this promise was for the birth and the death of the seed. If he wasn't strong and faithful and covenant-keeping, Herod would have killed him. There's many, many places through the Old Testament where Satan tried to destroy the seed. The last place was Herod, 2 years and under. There's lots of false teaching during Christmas time. You've got to be careful about that. He wasn't a baby in a cave anymore. 2 years old and under. He was a young child by the time the wise men got to him. The wise men were not at the nativity scene. So if I'm popping all your Christmas bubbles, I want you to know that's all have been just Christmas marketing. And it came from the Catholic Church, by the way. But he was out of the cave. He was out of the nativity scene when the wise men got to him. And when a wise man came, that's when Herod said, kill every child 2 years old and under, because he guessed that the child was about 2 years old. He was out of the cave. He was out of the manger. Now, I don't mean to pop all your butter and make you mad. I'm just talking Bible. That's just all. So you have a choice. Believe the tradition of man from the Catholic Church or believe what the Bible truly says. Amen? Am I right? Why would I want my children to believe a lie? And by the way, that's what Santa Claus is. It's just, he's a replacement for Jesus Christ. Okay. So, anyway, the seed, my seed, your seed, Jesus Christ, born in a manger. It was a miracle. He was strong. He was faithful. He was covenant keeping. He protected Mary. He protected Joseph. And he protected everybody around them. If you look at Luke 2 and all that, he's from Isaiah. He is the sign of the righteous one who's going to come to Israel. And the sign was Jesus. Not his swaddling clothes. The sign was Jesus himself born. He was, listen to me. It says he was born king. He didn't become king. He's born king. Why? Because he's the seed of the strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. He was born God. He's all, by the way, in the beginning, Elohim, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he was always God. He became man at Christmas. Lots of people believe that he just became God and man right there. No, he was all the way back, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was Elohim, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is the one who created the world. Isn't this such a fun name? You can depend on it. What an encouraging name for a church who's looking for a pastor. Do you think God is strong and faithful and covenant-keeping to bring you a pastor for you who need Him? Do you think He can do that? Do you think He wants to do that? Is God a local church man? Oh, yeah, it's the only program in this century. It's since Acts chapter 2. The only program that God has ordained is a local church. He hasn't ordained anything else. He ordained local churches. And since local church belongs to him, do you think he's strong and faithful and covenant-keeping God that he can bring a pastor to Coastline Baptist Church? Are you willing to wait and get to know him? Maybe he wants to find out how serious you are. Maybe you might need to fast and pray for God to bring you. By the way, if he's strong and faithful and covenant-keeping, the man he brings and have a relationship with him will be the same thing. Why am I strong, faithful, and covenant-keeping to him? Because that's what he is to me. And in Christ, I become the same thing. If I'm in Christ, I become strong and faithful and covenant-keeping. I keep his word. His covenant is his word now in the New Testament. He says, those who love me, keep my word. Amen? Maybe you left the world get a hold of you and you lost the glory of who we serve. Maybe you lost the bounce. Maybe you got discouraged. Maybe your focus is not on him. Maybe your focus is on the circumstances rather than where it should be. He's above the circumstances. He's strong in faith. He's never changed. The world, he said, will wax worse and worse. Where's your focus? Is it on you and your surrounding, and because you don't have a pastor, you're getting discouraged? Or if you focus on who he is, it's his job to bring you a pastor. It's his job. Do you believe that he can and will? You grow in the Word because he's strong and faithful and covenant keeping. The only reason I'm in the bush is because he's strong and faithful, and I believe he can change lives. And if I didn't believe that, I'd go back home to my grandchildren that I've never seen. I've given my whole life to this strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God, and he has not abandoned us. And he's for 5 years in the bush. He's been strong, he's been faithful, he's been covenant-keeping, and we've seen sorcerers get saved. Why? Because he's strong. He's faithful. He's covenant-keeping. Hallelujah. Have you lost the joy and excitement of who's inside of you? He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. I think we need to get our hearts right to this God before a pastor ever comes.